Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Chan Vallabha Girivaradari. Gopi Chan Vallabha Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari. Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jan Balabha Girivaradari. Jaya Gopi Jan Balabha Girivaradari. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari. Jamuna Tirtha Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parikrajikacharya Ashtatavasata Shishimad. His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Ananta Koti Vaishnava Brindaki Grantaraj Shima Bhagavatamaki Jaya Nitai Gopremanande. O glories assembled devotees. O glories assembled devotees. O glories assembled devotees. O glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Narayanam namaskritya naram cheva narottamam devim saraswatim vyasam tato jayam udirayat. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, Chapter entitled Ideal Family Life, Text Number 9. Mrigoshtra kara makaku Sarishrip kagamakshika Atmana putravat pashyet Tairesham antaram kiyat Migrashtra kara makaku Sarisrip kaga makshika Atmana putravat pashyet Tairesham antaram kiyat Migrashtra kara makaku Sarishrip kaga makshika Atmana putravat pashyet Tairesham antaram kiyat Mrigoshtra kara makaku Sarishrip kaga makshika Atmana putravat pashyet Tairesham antaram kiyat Ushtra, camels. Kara, asses. Marka, monkeys. Aku, mice. Sarisrip, snakes. Kaga, birds. Makshika, flies. Atmana, of oneself. Putravat, like the sons. Pashyet, one should see. Tai, with those sons. Esham, of these animals. Antaram, difference. Kiyat, how little. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and those innocent animals. Translation responsively. One should treat animals such as deer, camels, asses, monkeys, mice, snakes, birds, and flies, exactly like one's own son. How little difference there actually is between children and those innocent animals. Purport. One who is in Krishna consciousness understands that there is no difference between the animals and the innocent children in one's house. Even in ordinary life, it is our practical experience that a household dog or cat is regarded on the same level as one's own children, without any envy. Like children, the unintelligent animals are also sons of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And therefore, a Krishna-conscious person, even though a householder, should not discriminate between children and poor animals. Unfortunately, modern society has devised many means for killing animals in different forms of life. For example, in the agricultural fields, there may be many mice, flies, and other creatures that disturb production, and sometimes they are killed by pesticides. In this verse, however, such killing is forbidden. Every living entity should be nourished by the food given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Human society should not consider itself the only enjoyer of all the properties of God. Rather, men should understand that all the other animals also have a claim to God's property. In this verse, even the snake is mentioned, indicating that a householder should not be envious, even of a snake. If everyone is fully satisfied by eating food that is a gift from the Lord, why should there be envy between one living being and another? In modern days, people are very much inclined towards communistic ideas of society. But we do not think that there can be better communistic idea than that which is explained in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Even in the communistic countries, the poor animals are killed without consideration, although they also should have the right to take their allotted food with which to live. Omagyan Timanandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Patantikam Vancha Kaupaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Petitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the chapter is called Ideal Family Life. How to be a good grihasta. This is an important chapter. Why is the chapter important? Because most of the devotees are grihasthas. That's just the reality. If someone is brahmachari or vanaprastha or sannyasi, that is more rare. It's not so common that we'll find. The majority of the devotees will fall into grihastha ashram. Why is that? Because in the material world, Everyone has a desire to enjoy Vishaya. Vishaya means sense objects. Everyone is attached to enjoying in this material world. So as long as you're attached to enjoying in the material world, you have to regulate the enjoyment. And how do you regulate the enjoyment? That's through Grihastha Ashram. There is also there is Grihastha Ashram, but there is also Grihamedi Ashram. So who is a Grihamedi? He puts the Griha in the center, like the Meti. The Meti means, if you go to India, you might see, the Meti means like the turnstile. They tie the bullocks to the turnstile. And in the center you have the Meti. It's like a grinding apparatus. It grinds. They put the grains, for example, in the middle, and then you will grind. And the bullocks will walk around. They'll go around and around and around for hours. And in the center, the grains are being ground. So that's called Griha Medi life. Medi means the center. Griha means the Griha is the center. It's everything. Like the bullocks go around, the Medi. So for for most people in the material world right now in Kali Yuga, if you look out on the earth, there's 8 billion people. Most of them are in Griha Medi, which means the Griha is in the center. It is the center of existence. They don't want anything else except Griha life. Let's just fortify our Griha, make it more and more opulent. There is a saying, one celebrity recently, he said, people work hard all week, so that on the weekend they can buy things that they do not need to impress people that they do not like. That's basically material life. You work hard all week. We were saying that last week in the class. People just work hard all week. Bhagavatam says like a camel or an ass. A mutta. Mutta means, sometimes it means like ass. So you're like a mutta, you're like an ass. You just work hard all week so that on the weekend, go and buy all the things that you don't need just to impress the people that you don't like. That's your life. Well done. That is your life. That's Griha Medi life. So this is materialistic consciousness. So Grihastha Ashram means you take the Griha, but you spiritualize it. As Prabhupada says, the only way Grihastha Ashram works, because we see, even Grihastha Ashram sometimes can be challenging and difficult and doesn't always work. Sometimes it breaks down. We see divorce. Sometimes we see it. And the Grihastha couples, they don't get along. We see it. All these things take place. So then if we analyze, why is it that the Grihastha Ashram is not working as well? Because you have to put Krishna in the center. That's what Prabhupada said. Krishna has to be in the center. Because if the wife is in the center, or the husband is in the center, or even if the children, you won't be peaceful. Because you can never satisfy your wife. She'll never be completely happy with you. You can never satisfy the husband. Right? He'll never feel totally satisfied. Doesn't matter what you do. Right? So you have to put Krishna in the center. That's Grihastha life. That's the secret of success in Grihastha life. Krishna is in the center. Then you will have a chance that the Grihastha ashram will continue. It will be peaceful. Because you're not focusing on the husband or the wife. You're focusing on Krishna. And the husband and wife, ideally, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the Grihastha Acharya. How many kids did Bhaktivinoda Thakur have? 10, 12, like that. That's a lot. 12, 10, like this. It's a big number. Hands up here if you've got 10 or 12 kids. Do you know anyone who's got 10 or 12 kids? Don't even find it very often these days. It's very rare, actually. But back in those days, it was more common. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he is our Grihastha Acharya. He had 10 or 12 kids. Right? The reason he had 10 or 12 kids and it was successful is because his wife, whose name was Bhagavati Devi, was a pure Vaishnavi. She was pure. It was a Grihastha Ashram. It's a partnership. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was only successful as Grihastha Acharya because his wife was a pure Vaishnavi. She took care of 10 or 12 kids, right? That's extraordinary, right? Mothers these days, they'll struggle with one or two or three kids. It's a struggle, not easy. So imagine, 10 or 12 kids. Come on, kids, we're going to Mangalati. you got three. Okay, that's enough work. Now 10 or 12. Come on. Get in the minibus. We're going to Mongolia. That's a mission. Right? So Bhagavati Devi, she had everything under control. She was able to bring up 10 or 12 kids. And several of the children were pure devotees. Several were pure devotees. Not all. Some were actually not pure devotees. And that's an interesting point as well. Even pure devotees like Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Prabhupada, some of their children were not devotees. Right? There's no guarantee. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was in between Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Prabhupada, he said, I would have thousands of children if I knew they were going to be devotees. But he said, there's no guarantee, so he was naishtika, brahmachari. No, let me avoid it. Because there's no guarantee. Let me make devotees another way. Let me go and preach. And he had 60,000 disciples. So Grihastha life means it is not easy to make the children Krishna conscious. That is their choice. They have to make their own choice. To make the wife Krishna conscious, that is her choice. To make the husband Krishna, that is his choice. Therefore, Krishna has to be in the center. Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught us this. If you want Grihastha Ashram to be successful, Krishna has to be in the center. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes that my wife, my children, my home, everything, it is yours, my Lord. O Gopinath, everything is yours. O Krishna, everything is yours. That's how we have to see in Grihastha Ashram. That's not easy, actually. Because sometimes the wife is not happy with the husband. Right? She's not satisfied with the husband. Sometimes the husband is not satisfied with the wife. Not easy always to see like that. But if the husband and wife uplift themselves and they concentrate on devotional service, and they focus on Krishna, then it becomes like that. And then you can respect the husband and the wife. There's one very senior devotee. He's actually a guru in ISKCON. I won't say the name. He's a guru in ISKCON, Grihastha. And he told me one time, the first 7 years of our marriage, he's been married a long time, first 7 years we tried to change each other. First 7 years. Why are you like this? Why are you like this? Why are you like that? Why are you like that? First 7 years. 7 years, okay. And then he said, second 7 years, we did not like each other. Because they're not going to change. Okay, whatever. You just do your thing, I'll do my thing. And then he said, third 7 years, they became friends. And now they appreciate. And now they're close. Close friends. Although they still argue sometimes. I've seen. But that is the system. It takes time. You have to put Krishna in the center. And for Grihastha life to be successful, I've been a Grihastha for many years, and many other devotees have been Grihastha for many years, and sometimes devotees come for counseling or advice. You have to know how to give advice to Grihasthas, because so many Grihasthas, even brahmacharis, you have to know how to give advice to Grihasthas, because most of your preaching is to Grihasthas. So you can't be just totally aloof and complete, and that's challenging. You don't want to get into their stuff, but you have to give them advice. So not so easy. You have to know a little bit about how it works. At least philosophically, you can advise. But actually, Grihasthas should counsel Grihasthas. You shouldn't take all your problems to the sannyasis or the brahmacharis. It's not their business. My guru said that to me one time, many years ago. He said, go and speak to Aniruddha Prabhu. He said, what are you telling me this for? So I'm a sannyasi. You go and speak to, When we counsel or we give advice to the grihasthas, one thing that we always emphasize, if you want your grihastha ashram to be successful, you have to compromise. If you don't learn compromise, that means this is just life principle. In any relationship. Yeah. Can you fix this? It keeps dropping. Just fix it so it stays on. Go. He says, it is said that if you do not compromise, that's good, yeah. If you do not compromise in grihastha ashram, it's not going to be successful. And that's like that in any relationship. If you have a relationship with anyone and you're not willing to compromise, it's not going to be successful. Oh, it has to be my way. My way or the highway. Take your pick. It's not going to work. You have to be willing to compromise. That's how grihastha life is successful. So we always, when we counsel grihasthas, we always say that. Are you compromising? No? You want it like this, they want it like that, make some compromise. I was counseling grihastha couple a few years ago. Maybe 5 years ago or something then. They came. They said, oh, we're having problems. I said, what is the problem? Tell me the problem. They say, oh, this one doesn't do that, this one doesn't do that. So I said to the man, I said, you have to compromise. Come on, you can't expect your wife to do everything. You know, like in my grihastha ashram, I put out the washing. Right? That's our system in our grihastha, because there has to be some compromise, because we're both busy. My wife is busy like I am busy. I put out the washing. I put it in the machine, hang it out. I bring it in, and then she folds everything and puts it. So it's compromise. I could say, you should do everything. I am the man. I was put on here on earth to provide for the family. I do not do household chores. No, I mean, that's ridiculous. How's that going to work? It has to be compromise. Do I enjoy hanging the washing out? No. I don't. I don't enjoy it. I wash the dishes. You know, sometimes I wash the dishes. You know, my wife cooks, I wash the dishes. If I cook, she washes the dishes. Well, it's compromise. So do I enjoy washing dishes? No. I have a picture of Krishna above my sink. So I look at Krishna and I say, please liberate me from this material. Please bring me to you while I wash the dishes. Like that. Hanging out the washing, then I listen to a lecture. You know, while I'm hanging, because, you know, it's some mundane activity, doesn't take any brain power. You know, just like, should I choose the red peg or the blue peg? I'll choose the blue peg. Okay, it doesn't take any brain power. So you just do it. But then you can listen to a lecture, you can chant the holy names of Krishna, chant the Maha Mantra. So grihastha life, if it's going to be successful, it requires compromise. Because grihastha life is not easy. Material world is not easy. The only way it's successful, you have to put Krishna in the center. Mataji, you go on that side. Mataji on that side. Yeah. Then you have to put Krishna in the center. That's how it becomes successful. Bhaktivinoda Thakur teaches us this. Krishna has to be in the center. He says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, my wife, right, is Krishna's servant. My children belong to Krishna. My household is for Krishna. That's why we have one of the most important principles for grihasthas is deity worship. The deity is the center. Right? Mother Jagatrini and Burajan Prabhu, if you go to Perth where they live, their grihastha ashram, or maybe they're more like Vanaprastha now, but where they are, they call it Gopinath Dham. Gopinath Dham. Gopinath, their deity, is in the center. Everything is named after him. Right? He is in the center. Everything should be for his pleasure. When they brought the property, when they moved in there, the first thing they did, when they received the papers, they own the property, they have a murti of Prabhupada, small murti. They took Prabhupada with kirtan all the way through every room of the property. Prabhupada, you are the Lord and Master. You are the Prabhu, Prabhupada. You are the Lord and Master of this place, this ashrama. No? It is not for our pleasure. Like where I live at Hare Krishna Valley. My ashram is called Sri Govardhan Seva Ashram. Because I try to think like that. I learn from Burujan Prabhu. I try to think. This ashram, Govardhan, Giriraj, he's in the center. My deity is in the center. It's not for my pleasure. It's for his pleasure. So grihasthas have to think like that. Krishna is in the center. Of course, we have to also analyze whether the devotees have deities in Grihastha. We've been discussing this recently. Love that. It's also good just to have a picture of Krishna. Because if you're going to have a deity, big responsibility. It's like having a kid. when you have children, it's a lot of work. You have to feed them. Do your kids eat a lot? Your kids eat a lot. Yeah, because they're kids. Kids eat a lot. So therefore, you can't say, oh, I'm not going to feed the kid today. Doesn't work. That's your responsibility to feed. Same with the deity. You can't say, oh, I'm not going to feed the deity today. It's a big responsibility, actually. We've been discussing this recently, that it's probably better that the grihasthas, probably the majority should just worship pictures. Just better you worship. Prabhupada said that. You can worship pictures. Because if you're going to have deities in your home, it's a big responsibility. And you have to make sure that the worship is maintained. Not just for 1 week, but it's years and years and years. And you see grihasthas, they get very enthusiastic. They install the deity. They begin, but then they can't maintain the seva over time. So it's very, very important that we do like this. So therefore, the point is Krishna has to be in the center. That's grihastha life. It means Krishna is in the center. Sometimes, people think grihastha life is a step backwards in spiritual life. Oh, I was a brahmachari. I was a brahmachari for 8 years. So you're a brahmachari, and then you get married. They think, it's a step backwards. Not necessarily. One time Prabhupada was on a morning walk. I think it was in France. Prabhupada said to the devotees, why are the grihasthas in Maya? Why are the grihasthas in Maya? What is the answer? Why are the grihasthas? And all the devotees are like, Prabhupada said, why are the grihasthas in Maya? And then no one said anything. Then Prabhupada said, that is okay. That is their position. Of course the grihasthas are in Maya. Because they're attached. So therefore they get married. But they regulate their attachment. That's what grihastha life means. It means you regulate your attachment. Okay, you're attached to this material world? Regulate it. Right? You're attached to sex life? Okay, you can have sex life, but regulate it. Have some children. And then you'll give up all your attachment to sex life. Because it's hard work. And then you think, oh my God, more sex life means more children. More children means more hard work. And then what happens? You become detached. Your children liberate you from the cycle of birth and death. That is the point. Don't get puffed up. I'm liberating my parents from the cycle of birth and death. No, but the children are liberating because it's hard work. So then you become more detached from this material world. So therefore, grihastha life means regulated sense gratification. You have to regulate it. You can't just say that. So grihastha life is not necessarily a step backwards. I know myself, when I changed ashram from brahmachari, I was brahmachari for 8 years, and then when I became grihastha, many realizations actually developed. And I could see this was the right situation for me, because my realizations increased. They didn't go backwards. And that's why Prabhupada, in the 8th canto of the Bhagavatam, we know he gives the famous purports in the Gajendra Moksha section of the 8th canto. Prabhupada gives famous purports where he says, You have to be rightly situated. Huh? The elephant Gajendra was losing the fight in the water when he was fighting the crocodile. He was losing the fight. Why? Prabhupada gives a very nice analogy, very nice understanding of the situation. Because he was not properly situated. The elephant cannot win the fight in the water because the crocodile is more powerful in the water. But if you go onto the land, the elephant is more powerful. Right? So therefore he will win. So Prabhupada gives a very nice understanding. For some devotees, because of our conditioning, because of our samskaras, because of our atika, our qualification, we have to be in grihastha ashram. Because we will make more advancement. Our mind will be more peaceful, and then you can make more advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's not a disadvantage, actually. And for some devotees, it's better to be in the renounced order of life. Brahmachari, vanaprastha, sannyas. It's good. Because then the mind will be more peaceful. Right? And then you can focus more on Krishna. So it just depends on your adhika, your qualification. So for some devotees, it's better. And I know for myself, when I was a brahmachari, there were times when my chanting, my japa, was very good. You know, there were times when I got a lot of reciprocation from Krishna in my chanting. And then when I became a grihastha, there's been times where I've got so much reciprocation from Krishna. So it's not a disadvantage. You know, sometimes when you become a brahmachari, becomes a grihastha, everyone says, oh, he's in maya. Oh, that's it. He's fallen down. He's gone into the deep dark well of grihastha life. There is no hope for him. See you later. Hare Krishna. It was nice knowing. Let us know when you want to come out. We'll throw a rope. Otherwise, enjoy yourself. In the dark, deep dark well of suffering in material world. There's many analogies which are given about the suffering. Because it is. Grihastha life is challenging. But actually, for some devotees, it's better. You make more advancement. I know myself, like my best rounds of my life have been since I've been a grihastha. So it just depends on your situation. It's not necessarily a fall down. We just have to understand that this material world is a place of suffering. So for some devotees, you have to be, if you're more properly situated in renounced life, then you'll overcome the cycle of birth and death. And if you're more properly situated in grihastha life, then you'll overcome the cycle of birth and death. It's not that one will be successful and the other one will not. Prabhupada said if you can follow the four regulative principles and chant 16 rounds a day and not make too much noise in the Bhagavatam class, then Prabhupada said you will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. What did Prabhupada say? Four regulative principles, 16 rounds minimum, and not too much noise in the Bhagavatam class. You will go back home, back to Godhead in this lifetime. Well, Prabhupada said. He didn't say the last part, but he said, I embellished, I put that into the class. You have, if you do these things, so you can go back to Godhead from grihastha ashram or sannyas ashram. It's the same, actually. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, right? One is not a sannyasi just by putting on the external dress, but it is your consciousness. And there's even a statement, there are statements where Prabhupada says, if a grihastha can live with a wife, a beautiful wife, and still be fixed in Krishna, he's better than a sannyasi, Prabhupada says. So there's no disadvantage. It's just whatever suits you. Yeah, if it's better for you, renounced life, do it. You know, if I could have been a renounciate, a sannyasi, I would have done it. I had an opportunity to be a sannyasi, you know, when my first marriage finished and before I, you know, married, I had an opportunity and I spoke to the sannyasis, you know, and they encouraged me. I had an opportunity, but I wasn't ready to do it. You know, I couldn't do it externally. You know, externally I could do it. I could put on the vesh, you know, but internally the purity is not there. So therefore, it's what is the point? Then my spiritual life will become disturbed and others will become disturbed as well. So you have to be situated in the right place. But there's no disadvantage You just have to be properly situated, and then you serve Krishna as much as you can. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, what is chapter 3 called? In the Bhagavad Gita. Which one? Karma Yoga, very good. And then what is chapter 4 called? Transcendental Knowledge. In Sanskrit, we call that Jnana Yoga. So chapter 3 is Karma Yoga, chapter 4 is Jnana Yoga. Why does Krishna put it like that? Because the first chapters of the Gita are about Karma Yoga. The last chapters are about Jnana Yoga. And the middle chapters are about Bhakti Yoga. So why does Krishna put Karma Yoga in the beginning? Because he's teaching us how to be active in this world. Because we're all active. Right? Everyone wants to do something all the time. Krishna says in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, no one can stop doing anything even for a moment. Right? We can't stop doing anything, right? Okay, everyone stop doing, don't do anything right now. Everyone stop. No one do anything. You can't stop. All of you thought in your mind, how long will this go for? Can I actually do it? Am I doing something? No, I'm not doing. No. So nothing stops because the soul is active. So Krishna says in the third chapter, you can't stop doing anything. So Karma Yoga, you have to be active in this world. Everyone's active. The predominant mode of nature in the material world is passion. That's predominant. Right? So you have to learn to be active for Krishna. That's the point. That's why it's called Karma Yoga. Be active for Krishna. So Jnana is in the fourth chapter. Jnana means knowledge. What's the problem in the material world right now? How many people are in the material on earth right now, human beings? 8 billion. That's a lot. Right? And what are they doing to the planet? Making a mess. Why? Because they're active, but they don't have knowledge. Right? The American Indians, they say, do not make any decision which will negatively affect 7 generations of your people. We can't even make decisions which don't negatively affect 1 generation of our people, or this generation. We're making all these bad decisions, and now everything is becoming ruined. The American Indians, they used to say, before the white man came to America, all the rivers were clear and pure. You could just drink from the river like that. You can go down to the Yarra River now and just drink out of it. We'll have an excursion. Okay, everyone ready? Get the minibus. Right, we'll go to Yarra River. No, none of us, who's going to do it? Would you drink water straight from the Yarra? I wouldn't. It's all brown colour. We know that further up, you know, in Collingwood and all those areas, you know, Abbotsford, there's factories and the you know, the sewage and different things are going, the affluence is going into the river. You're not going to drink it. Right? But the rivers used to be pure. I know old people who used to live in Melbourne, they say the Yarra River used to be clear. Long time ago. You know, it used to be clear. No, not now. So the American Indians, they said, you know, don't make decisions which are going to negatively impact the future generations. That's karma. Karma means act properly. With jnana, with knowledge. Right? So what happens now is people don't act properly with knowledge. So grihastha life means you're active, you're passionate, that's why you've gone into grihastha life. You're going to do activity, but do it with knowledge. That's why you have to study Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna says to Krishna at the end of the third chapter, Krishna, why do sometimes I do things which I know I should not do, but I do them anyway? Has anyone ever done that? Hands up, you ever did? Only the kids putting their hands up. What happened to all the adults? You're all moonies now. You're very wise. But we all did it in our life. Sometimes you did something. Your intelligence is saying, there's a voice inside your head saying, do not do it. Or, you know, when your heart beats, sometimes you're doing something you know you should not do and your heart starts going boo, 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 boo. Ever happen? Yeah, it happened, right? Right? What is that boo, 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 boo? That is Paramatma. That is Subhila. Krishna saying, hey, you shouldn't be doing this. And boom, 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 boom. Because he's here. He's in the heart.
Yeah. So you get, but then you say, no, I'll do it anyway. So Arjuna says to Krishna, what is that? What makes me? Kama Esha, Krodha Esha, Rajaguno, Samudbhava. It's born from Rajagun. So everyone in this material world is passionate. Mm? And because they're passionate, we have lust. We have a desire for sense gratification. So that's why Krishna gives us transcendental knowledge. Right? That's why you have to study the Bhagavad Gita. Because then you learn to control that passion. You control your activity. And then your grihastha life becomes successful. So we have to study. Because Arjuna says to Krishna, no, why do I do that? And then Krishna says it is because of calm. And then Krishna says how to control the calm. He says you have to regulate yourself. And you have to make your buddhi strong. So how do you make your buddhi strong? How do you make your intelligence strong? You study Prabhupada's books. That's why we come to Bhagavatam class. Now you came to Bhagavatam class today, now your intelligence is strong. So when Maya comes to you and she tries to persuade you, you say, no, I heard this morning the Bhagavatam, I have to have knowledge. I cannot fall into Maya. I have to say no to Maya. No? Just like how did Gandhi get all the British out of India? No cooperation. That was his policy. Prabhupada said it wasn't actually that. It was Bose who actually started shooting the British that helped. But Gandhi made their life miserable. He said no cooperation. So when you're dealing with Maya, Prabhupada says no cooperation. Maya, thank you for your offer today, but no, I am not cooperating. I am on strike today. No Maya today. Today is no Maya day. International No Maya Day. We should get that on the calendar. They have every other day on the calendar. Right? So let's have International No Maya Day. The whole world, 8 billion people, no Maya, one day. Everyone say no to Maya. So this is the way that we learn. So as a grihastha, you have to learn this. You have to say no to sense gratification. You have to act, but with knowledge. Right? Make your intelligence strong. So grihastha life is not a bad ashram, but you have to learn to control your mind and your senses. That's why we have brahmachari ashram first. Brahmachari ashram is there, control your mind and senses, then you go to grihastha ashram. So then devotees say, well, I didn't have an opportunity to be a brahmachari. My Guru Maharaj, he was giving class one time, he said, then you have to catch up. You have to have the brahmachari training in the beginning of your grihastha life. Means you have to be very serious for a period of time. In ISKCON in the old days, in the 70s and the early 80s, the mood was very strict. It's more not as strict now. But one devotee, his name is Jai Srila Prabhu, he's in New Zealand, he is Prabhupada disciple. He joined this temple around about 1975, like that. So he was here in this temple. And he wanted to take second initiation from Prabhupada. So Balaram Prabhu, who is the temple president, said, we'll give you second initiation if you come to Mangalarti and Sanja Arti for 6 months every day. So he did that. So it was like, because he joined as a grihastha, he didn't have brahmachari life, but he sped up, he caught up. He had his brahmachari training in the beginning of the grihastha ashram. So that's how you do it. You know, if you can't be a brahmachari, then you have to catch up. You have to be strict in the beginning. Right? And give yourself good training so you develop good habits in Krishna consciousness. Then you can survive the material energy, which is very challenging. So we'll stop here. We'll see if there's any questions or comments on anything we discussed. Microphone, transcendental microphone key. Jai. Jai ho. Where is that transcendental microphone? Mataji first, yeah. Here. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. Prabhu, you mentioned if we keep the husband or the wife or the children in the center of our grihastha life, it will not be successful. But if we keep Lord Krishna in the center, then it will be successful. So Prabhu, I like to ask, if the kids in the grihastha ashram are practicing Krishna consciousness and are sometimes in the center, is that okay? Because we see we are mainly like cooking and feeding the kids in the ashram, not the deities.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, Prabhupada said the children are Vaikuntha children. They came from Vaikuntha. So all of you came from Vaikuntha. And it is our service as your parents to serve you. Prabhupada actually said, he said the children are the deity for the parents. Because sometimes the parents in the early days, they would get up and come to Mangalati. And they would bring the children, you know, it's not always good for the children to come to Mangalati when they're very young, you know, because they need to sleep and their brains need to develop. And so when Prabhupada found out, he said, no. He said, let the children rest, stay at home, look after the children, they are your deity. So for the parents, if they serve the children, if the children are devotees, and the parents are devotees and they serve them nicely, then everyone is making spiritual advancement. That is your, as a grihastha, my Guru Maharaj, he said to me, he said, when you get married, your first responsibility is your wife, and then when you have children, your first responsibility is the children. That is your main service as a grihastha, to make your family Krishna conscious. That's the main service. So that is devotional service. Is that okay?
Thank you, Prabhupada.
Yeah, very good question. Over here.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Keshava Prabhu. You mentioned about, you know, the Paramatma reciprocating from within. Sometimes we know that we're not meant to do something, and you can feel that Paramatma. And you mentioned that it's Krishna. Is it Krishna personally, or is it like the whole, like Krishna's organization, everything's organized by Krishna? And that's responding. And how much of it is actually
the beating in the heart?
Yeah,
that's Paramatma.
Yeah,
yeah, that's Krishna.
And that's for everyone.
It's God,
right?
And God is telling you, don't do this.
Yeah,
that's why you're going with it. Boom, 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 boom. Because you're disobeying God.
Right.
That's why you feel, oh, I shouldn't be doing it, but I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why. That's you're disobeying God.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
So it's like conscience.
It's God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Of course. What?
It is God.
Yeah, yeah.
In India, we say Bhagwan.
Yeah, right.
Okay, that's who it is. Or in Gita we say Paramatma.
Okay.
Okay. TK? Okay.
And does it, like, the more you ignore it, does it start neglecting you a little bit? You know, because people
Of course.
Are doing. Yeah.
Of course, you'll fall into Maya.
Yeah.
Gyanam smritir apohanam cha. Krishna says, I am in here. I am Paramatma. I'll give you knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So if you keep disobeying, he'll organize forgetfulness. Oh, you want to keep disobeying me? That's okay. Boom. Forget me then.
Right.
Fall into Maya.
Yeah.
Maya Shakti will cover you.
Yeah.
Right? She'll pull you down and cover you, and you will go. And then many years later, you'll think, oh, I used to be a Hare Krishna. Maybe I should go back and have a look at that now. That's what everyone does.
Yeah.
We see all the people leave, they end up coming back. So why waste 30 years? Just stay here with us your whole life. Prabhupada in the 1977, just before he left the world, he woke up in the middle of the night and Bhavananda Prabhu was there, one of his disciples. Prabhupada woke up, he said, Kay? Who? Who is there? It was dark. Prabhupada said, Kay? And then Bhavananda Prabhu came to Prabhupada. He was the only one in the room. He said, Bhavananda Prabhupada, I'm here. He said, oh, Bhavananda, stay with me forever. And never, never leave me. Prabhupada said that. Right? So don't ever go away. That's Maya.
Yeah.
Maya means you go away. You think, oh, I can be Krishna conscious without the devotees. No, you can't.
No.
We see those who stay separate from the devotees, they have trouble.
Yeah.
We say those who stay with the devotees, they don't have trouble. Mm. So stay with us. Never leave.
Thank you.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions? Down the back.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, you just mentioned about the sense control. You said before, earlier stage, we have like strict rules and regulation. Like you give example for 6 months. But how actually in practical that helps to control the senses? Because that's only the one way you come in. Because maybe someone has that in the mind, you know, so 6 months and after that I can do whatever I want.
Why don't you just try it and see what it does to you? Why don't you just come to Mangaladi every day for 6 months and Sanja Adi and then come back and tell us what it did? See if your mind and senses are more under control or not. Why don't you do an experiment? And then come and tell us. Okay?
Thank you.
Then you will understand.
I'll try.
Yeah, why not? Any other question? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Gauranga.
The list.
Yeah. You'll send it.
Yes.